Welcome to the conference. Please enter the conference ID followed by the pound key. Thank you. Guest ID accepted.
I'm not letting, because I admit, as I'm a passionate person, I wasn't pretending to be a certain person on this call just because we're in front of everyone. I was being myself. And, you know, even when I was getting a little bit like, okay, you reflected that. All right. So, like, what do you think? Then, you know, I think she handled that really well, and I appreciate that. Because, you know, I feel like in these coaching moments, there are human moments that we have. And I think she handled it really well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%. 100%, yes. And there were some really great questions in there, as well as creating awareness. There's great creating awareness around the pattern that you, parties, just we're going through with the overwhelm. And the other thing I really loved was in the beginning, Sharon, when you said, you know, I'm excited to talk to you, we haven't had a chance to speak much, all of that. The reason why I want to pull that out is because sometimes you'll get on a session with a client and either it's at the beginning of your work together, and maybe you haven't connected as deeply as you wanted in the enrollment process, or maybe it's a client, an ongoing client, but because of vacations or this and that, you haven't spoken for a while. And sometimes something does need to be said just to create a bridge into being comfortable and connecting more deeply, just like naming what is, oh, we haven't spoken in a while. I can't believe it's been X amount of weeks since our last session. Or, you know, I'm so happy to get started. I know we don't know each other so well yet. I feel like we got to know each other a bit as you were deciding to work together, but I'm really excited to you know, jump in here. So I think there's a lot to be said, and I think that's a piece of the friendliness that some people have been commenting on, which, you know, isn't a positive just for the sake of being friendly, but it helps create the container. It helps put clients at ease. Great. So, Sharon, if you could go back and do something different, what would you do? What might you do differently?
Well, obviously, the reflection I made that parties didn't like so much, I would change that. Now, I've reflected that I asked at the end how it related back to feeling okay or something. I think I had a question at the end of it. And so maybe she didn't hear that, I'm not sure, but I it was my intention to ask a question. But somehow our communication got crossed there. So I would just, I think, make my reflection a little bit different.
How would you make it different? Like if there's a learning there for you, or an insight there for you, what is it?
Well,
it's interesting, like, I wasn't surprised that Pardis said that. Well, anyway, I want to hear from you. Like, what's the insight there for you?
Well, I think the insight was that my reflection was too verbatim,
mm-hmm.
and I needed to add some of my own language or insight into it, and I think that's what she was responding to when she said, well, I want to hear what you think.
Yeah.
Like, there wasn't enough of a framing of it. It was just more factual restating. Is that
yeah.
right? I don't remember exactly what I said, but that's my sense
yeah.
of it.
Yeah, yeah. And I want to hear from Pardis on this, but that's my sense, too. When you started reflecting back, the thought – you'll know what I mean by this. The mm-hmm. thought that went through my head was, Sharon sounds a little bit too coachy right now, and I think it's exactly for the reason that you just said. It was really just reflecting back almost verbatim what she said without putting some messaging in there, or a better way to say, like, creating, sort of bringing forward the deeper connections that were happening in what she was saying. Pardis, does that sound accurate to you?
Yes, it does. And you know what? Because it totally does. And also, given my background, because I am intuitive, I value, that's just me too. Like, I value that. I value that, that insight. And I do feel like, you know, Sharon is really wise, and I think she's someone who gives really good advice, just the sense I get of her as a person. And I really was wanting to get more of her to break through the confines of the structure of the coaching. And also because I was a little emotional, because even though it may not have come through in my voice, when we talk about overwhelm, it can be, it's an emotion, right? So because it was emotional, I needed more emotion from her to feel like more supported. That was another piece. Like, it felt like, it was a little too rigid for me to feel relatedness. That's what I'm trying to get at. Yeah.
Sharon, what are you hearing in that feels important for you?
Yeah, no, I totally get what Pardis is saying, that she lost the feeling of support from me and relatedness, so it felt disconnected. And that can feel a little hurtful or confusing to a client, especially if it's a change from what was happening before.
Yeah, and I think that's not, I think you, that's not an issue for you. I know when we do these practicums, it's easy to get nervous. You can tell me if this resonates or not. One of the things I was thinking when you were coaching is, like, Sharon is such a good student. Like, she's using so many of the skills and using them so well, almost a little bit too much to a fault, a little bit. Like you've done so good at at mastering the skills, you can loosen them up a little bit now.
Mm-hmm.
Does that resonate?
Well, possibly. I think, though, what's more going through my mind is I think I may not have been entirely sure what to say, because she had just said a lot at that point.
Yeah.
And I think I was not clear enough in my mind about what reflection and deeper meaning I wanted to bring forward. So what I could do was to say what I heard. So I needed more time, I think. I needed to give myself a beat to really think about what would be an even deeper thing to say.
That makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense. And that goes back to your original intention.
Mm-hmm.
So if you could go back, just knowing what you know now, what is it that you would have liked to have said?
No, I need to find that. Because I wrote a couple of things down, but I don't remember exactly what she said at that point. Well, let me see if I can find it and see. I don't know, because I'm not looking at it right in front of me, but
if you just actually even just, like, close your eyes and tune in to, like, what your inner wisdom is telling you about this client and what this client really needs to hear.
Mm-hmm. I think I would have really validated all the great ideas that she had come up with to make it easier for herself. And how easily they came from her. And what a strength that was, especially for someone who's in the middle of feeling overwhelmed, that she had the headspace to realize that. And I think just go back to my question, though. You know, now that you've named all these things, does that help you feel more calm that everything is going to be okay? I wasn't sure if, you know, just doing those things was really enough, whether it was enough at a deep feeling level, which at the end she said it wasn't, to really know. I think that's what I would do.
Awesome. Good. Okay, good. Marlene.
Hey, yeah, so I had written down, first of all, that Sharon did a good job matching Paradisa's energy. And then there was a moment when I thought I might have taken it in a different direction, which was when I think, and Paradisa had already said a couple other things like this, but she goes, I know it's really silly or something like that about how she was feeling. And, you know, she was laughing about it and everything. And I think I may have laughed and then kind of said, you know, but it's not silly. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, you're really, you know, like what feelings underneath that, and maybe just so she could name it and be fully seen and heard with whatever she's feeling, whatever she's feeling, like, you know, you might feel alone or like it's all on your shoulders, you know, and that's heavy. And, you know, let's just spend a moment and let yourself feel that.
Yeah.
And then also I think maybe to tell her, you know, when she was saying like, I think I'm going to be okay, you know, to let her know, like, I believe in you and I know you're going to be okay. And it's normal, like, to feel like it's not going to be okay. Like, it could be scary and, you know, just to let her be seen in that.
Yeah. Yeah. I love both of those suggestions. I think they're really great. And I think those are other ideas that could have contributed to Paradisa feeling a little more held in that emotion. And then the other piece I would add on, I think in line of everything that you're sharing, Marlene, is one of the things that I really heard that I think it would have been worthwhile to create awareness around. Paradisa mentioned it a number of times that, like, on a really deep level, she knows she's okay. She knows she's being taken care of. She knows all is well. It's just that, almost like that surface, like, reaction when things are feeling crazy, that she feels like, oh my gosh, things are not okay, but that she has this whole other deep reservoir of knowing that she sometimes forgets about, of just really knowing that she is okay. And then that may have been helpful as well. A couple of more shares. Leah.
Yeah, let me know if you can hear me okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. There's something about, like, I could heat, like, and I can't discern whether this is because I know parties, and I think obviously some of it is, but I knew there were much deeper, like, patterning, like, and she mentioned this, about, like, this is a cycle that you get in, but we didn't really go into the belief, and that there feels like there is a fear under the other fear, and a belief under the belief, that it feels like it's really ripe for Paradisa to face. And I have a sense that there's a number of contributing factors there, but that's the level that even if she fixes all these things, she's still going to be operating from this place where she doesn't fully trust herself or doesn't trust that she's going to be okay. Mm-hmm. And I could just hear it very early on throughout the whole call that, like, that's where I would have wanted to go. And again, I think I have more context, so I don't know how to balance that, but I also just have a bias to be like, let's go to the depth. And so
I think it's a both and there, like, with the context, yeah, for those of us that know Paradisa really well, for sure. I think it was starting to get established when Sharon created awareness around the pattern. It's almost like this ping-ponging back and forth between the overwhelm and the deeper belief. And that could have been a pathway to go down for sure, is, okay, let's break this apart even more and see what's going on there. Good. All right, I'll take one last thought from Inbal.
So, you know, the main thing for Sharon and is that, you know, I think she has so much wisdom and presence and skill. And you know, the main kind of like thing, I guess, to, you know, with practice is that, you know, I wish you would trust yourself more and be more confident in your skills. Cause I felt like, you know, to show up more energetically as a leader. Cause I felt like there were a couple of times when, you know, when Pardis asked for feedback, so it was like, you know, taking that as like, a criticism or being like, okay, so what sort of, like, what feedback do you have on my question? Or, you know, Pardis talked over a question, so then it was like, you didn't like my question. And with the homework, you know, when Pardis asked the question about the homework, it was like, well, maybe that's too difficult. And so it's like, you know, these are not like, right, they're just more like moments of clarification rather than being about Sharon or her level of skill.
Sharon, does that resonate for you? What are you hearing in that that feels important for you?
Yeah, I appreciate the feedback. That I shouldn't automatically go to, that there was something wrong with what I did, that to keep it more neutral about clarification is much more helpful.
Good. And
yeah,
you know,
I thought the homework was amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, the homework questions were great. And I could see if it were a longer session, even doing some of that in the session. As we wrap, I want to really reiterate what Inbal said and what I said earlier, which is that your skills are so masterful. You have them down so well. It's really so beautiful. And I know that on so many levels you do trust yourself and you have a lot of confidence, as you should. You're amazing. And I want to vote for what Inbal says. I want you to feel even more confident in your skills, because I think it's going to take what's already so masterful and be even more incredible and have you feel even more incredible about it. So well done. So well done, Inbal, your coaching today. So well done, Sharon. Thank you, Sandra. And thank you, Pardis, for volunteering. And thank you, everyone else. I hope you all have a wonderful rest of your day. And I'll talk to you soon. Bye. Okay, I'm on marathon calls here today. Let me get the recording going for the next call. 1 second here. Okay, let's get the new recording going. Guys, give me a second here. Why isn't this working? Let me get this recording going. Okay, there we go. All right. Welcome, everybody. I think some of you may have caught the last minute of our last call. That was a supervision. Coaching supervision group, and someone was doing practice coaching and we were all giving our feedback. But anyway, I'm so happy to be with all of you in level 2 in Sacred Depths. It feels like we haven't had a clinic call in so long, and I'm so excited to hear your voices and to hear what's up for you and to give feedback. Before we jump in, I want to just note that we are a couple of days away from the summer solstice and in the Northern Hemisphere. And the summer solstice is the time of year when we have the longest day, we have the most sunlight out of the entire year. And it's, of course, because it's the longest day, it's the shortest night. And summer solstice, which literally means, solstice means the sun stands still. On a solstice, the sun stands still for 3 days. We have 3 days of really, really long days. On the solstice, it's just a beautiful time. It's an auspicious moment to think big. Just like the sun. The sun is really big and shining bright, and we get to harness that energy. Now, when I say think big, thinking big can mean many different things for many different people depending on what moment you are in your life, right? Like there are for some people at certain moments in our lives when thinking big literally means like, oh my God, I'm going big with my business, like massive expansion, blah, 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 right? All good. But it doesn't have to be that, right? Because that's very pressure-filled, and that may not be right for all individuals at all times. Thinking big, being big, looking at, you know, where is it time to shine more, like the sun, can be about an inner quality, or it can be whatever big means relative to what's important to you. So all that being said, I just want to give you a moment right now to write down for yourself, you know, as we approach the solstice and this auspicious energy of being able to be vision big and be big and shine in the ways that we're meant to shine, where is it that you would like to shine more between now and the end of the year? What is a big goal for you, inner or outer, between now and the end of the year? Just write it down. Next question is, what's the belief that is ready to be nurtured or believed? What belief wants to be put in place so that you can really move towards whatever this bigness or this shining is for you? What's the belief that hasn't quite been there that's really necessary for you? Whatever belief is required here, I just want to give you the invitation to take it seriously. It's so easy, especially for us that are evolved and have done a lot of personal growth and have a lot of wisdom, for us to kind of like poo-poo the simple things that we already know. Like, of course I need to change, you know, think, focus on my thoughts and, you know, like all of that. It's like so easy to be like, yeah, yeah, blah, blah, right? But it's really those simple things that are often the most impactful. And I know for myself, part of my ability to create when I'm able to create what I want, and a big part of my own ongoing transformational journey, a big element of it is being on top of my thoughts, right? Just like when we looked at Rewire Negative Thoughts module, when I'm on top of it, I act differently. I feel differently. I respond instead of reacting to things. So whatever thought you just wrote down, take it seriously. See how you want to work with it. And then finally, last piece, based on all of this and based on what's ready, how you're ready to shine and be big, what's an action you know for sure you want to take this week around it? What's something you really want to commit to? Excellent. Okay. So with all of that, let's open up for our clinic time. As a reminder, feel free to bring forward anything inner or outer, anything that you've got going on with a client or patterns that you see with clients, stuff that you've got going on maybe with enrollment conversations, anything that you need to step up with either clients or prospects, anything that you need help or support with. As usual, we're a small group on this call, so feel free to come forward and raise your hand. Don't be shy. So star two, who'd like to start us off? What can I help you with today? Kelsey.
Hi, Joanna. Hi, everyone. I guess mine's a little bit general, and I sort of figured I would just get talking and then I would get more specific, but I feel in a bit of a rut, and I'm trying to not well, summer slows down a little bit, I guess, from an acupuncture perspective for sure, and also I'm feeling like from a coaching perspective, I had a six-month client who re-signed to a three-month just right after. She's like, oh, I can't do another 6 months, but I'll do a 3 month. And I was taking your advice not to go month to month. And I went ahead and scheduled the whole 3 months, like we say. And then literally today she was supposed to start. And yesterday she said, you know, I need to think about it. And I feel like maybe I get more out of the coaching when I have a really strong vision, which of course we would do again in the first session, but she didn't even have the first session to trust me on that. And so I just wrote back and I said, I totally respect your ability to want to just take it slow. And she didn't say no, she just wants to start in August. So it's again, like all these, I can't decide if it's in the energy that I'm putting out that like summer is slower. And I'm a little bit regretting I didn't actually take more time off this summer because I have a lot of space in my calendar right now. And what's happening is with that free time is I'm not being super productive because I'm so used to being so busy with clients that I wish I could be a little bit more productive. So that's a little bit what's happening. I don't know exactly what my question is. One is to strategize around the slowness and maybe helping me motivate a little bit during the slowness to plan my retreat or my next course or whatever it is.
Yeah, I hear a couple of things in there. Let's take a look at that. But I also just want to talk about that particular client that you were mentioning because I think there's some pieces in there that it will be helpful for you and everyone else. So with the slowness, you know, it's interesting, right? I do want to help you strategize, I promise. We'll get to the strategizing. But, like, what strikes me is that in a way, this is what you've been asking for.
Totally. Right. And I know that.
Yeah.
Yes. And it feels amazing.
Yeah. And so here's where I hear you teetering. And what I don't want to have happen, but I think could, if we don't kind of like realign some things, is you're going to end up having the space but not be productive nor rest and relax, but instead, like, fill it up with, like, stupid – sorry, stupid is not a nice word.
Yeah.
It's just, like,
yeah, I know,
like, productivity things that are just going to, like, make you feel tired and busy but not get you anywhere nor get you to, like, have that space that you actually want and crave. And tell me if you're resonating with what I'm saying. Like, I can see how you could end up going down that road.
Yes, and in the past, I do and have, to my credit a little bit, and I think that's part of the question here, is I have actually just been letting myself rest, which is why I haven't been super productive.
Yeah.
I've just, like, I had a day where the night before and the morning of, like, all these things shifted, and I didn't have anything until 2 in the afternoon, and I just kind of, like, fucked around. didn't do anything.
It's so great. It's so good. So I want to, like, take that further. So, because I get this feeling that what's happening this summer, and I think you've choreographed it because of all of the inner work you've been doing around, like, the, giving yourself permission to slow down and have space. I definitely want to look at strategizing how to be productive, but I also want to strategize on, like, how to actually be slow. But I want to do both. Does that sound good?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, great. So, and I want to do the slow first, right? Because that's the one that can get swept under the rug a little bit.
Yes.
So my first question is, like, a little bit context, just because I don't know all of the details. The way that you have, because you mentioned you wish you would have taken more time off this summer, the way that you have taken time off this summer and the way that you have your schedule arranged, is there a, now that you're seeing that it's a little slower, and we'll get to bringing more people in, I promise, but now that it is a little slower, like, is there a better way to arrange your schedule for this summer? I know that can feel scary sometimes to go and talk to clients. We can get around that. But I'm wondering if there is actually a better way for you to organize your summer so that you can maximize on time off. There
right.
May not
like,
be. I don't know the details, but I just want to ask the question.
Yeah, I'd have to look at it. There might be, like, you know, grouping people a little better. Part of it is also, you know, that, like, I signed my daughter up for camps and, you know, everything. So it's like, even though I have a slower week this week and next week, she's already in camps and then we're taking a week off. And so maybe once I get my first week off, I won't feel as,
I mean, I'll just share, like, as a parent, I feel like there's two different types of time off for me. There's a time off that I spend with my kids, which is lovely. And then there's the time off without my kids, which is awesome.
Yes. And so I think it's about rearranging. Yeah. So her camps, she's in her camps and I just need to look at my calendar a little bit so that I can have my time off not be like 2 hours here or between 11:30 and 2:30.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that's exactly why I'm asking. And that's my first kind of action step for you is I want you to rearrange to group things so that you can have, like, maybe some full days off.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wouldn't that just be so incredible? Just have full days off while your daughter is at camp.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
It would be. And even that day where I was off till 2, I should have, you know, gone and gotten acupuncture or massage or something. I just, you know, I putzed around. Sometimes I need to just putz around.
No,
and putz, I get that,
yeah,
but,
putz around time is great. Like, it's needed as well as the other pieces. So then that would be the second piece. Like, then for the time that you do have off, and really name it off. Like, put it in your calendar. So that's not going to be program development time. It's not going to be marketing time. But I want you to really name the chunks that are just off. Like, they're really just for Kelsey. Once you do that, then see, like, is there any structured things that you want to put in there, like an appointment or whatever it is.
Right.
For yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, I need to do that. Yes.
Okay.
More self-care, yes.
Mm-hmm. That will also, by doing all of that, not only will you, like, get that time for yourself and be more relaxed, but the kind of, like, bonus is that when you actually are working on work, not during client session time, you'll be less apt to putz around then, and you'll kind of, like, click into what you need to get done.
Right. It makes those times on without clients more productive. That's what's happening. Yeah.
Exactly. So, okay, so we want to get that in place, and then we also want to name, like, what are the times on, which will happen after you name the times off. And then let's set a goal. So, like, if you had a goal or two for this summer, what would that be?
I just named it in your little prelude. I think I want to get this retreat that I've been talking about. I want to get the curriculum done for the retreat and get my 6-week workshop revamped a little bit to do that again too.
Great.
And marketed. Yeah.
Great. Good, good, good. So I love that's like a very focused, doable thing for the summer. And it's perfect if things are a little slow, right? Like you can really work on that and have your time off. So with that goal in mind, once you name all of the times that you have on, the very first chunk of time that you have on, I want you to devote to blueprinting out. Have you listened to the – oh, well, we've gone over it in Sacred Depths. You know what the thing is. I want you to blueprint that project out for the summer and get really clear on what you're doing on what dates over the summer.
Okay. Okay.
And if you have any cues on that, you know, you can always ask me, post it in the Facebook group. But how does that feel?
That feels great. That feels great. And the blueprint, maybe I haven't listened to that. I thought you were going to say the curriculum lab. What's the blueprint? Is that something that's in our
We looked at that. I think it's part of the strategizing module.
Okay.
There's a worksheet for it, like how to blueprint out a project. If you can't find it, just let me know. It's also in the time module for your sacred business, but you should be able to find it in the sacred depth stuff. I was also going to say, you know, it might be I'm doing curriculum lab again this summer, and there's a special rate for people that have already done it. It might be, or you can, you know, go and listen to the recordings, but if you want to be in a container for it, it might be perfect timing since you're working.
Okay. Awesome. You'll let us know when that is.
Yeah, I'll put that out soon. Okay, we'll get to the particular client in a second, but how is all of that feeling around strategizing and organizing your time?
It feels good. I so know that it's exactly what I need to do, and I just need to do it. Now it's just, I think that's part of why I raised my hand to say this, because I'll commit to it if I'm doing it for you.
Yay! Okay, awesome. Okay, in terms of your client, her resistance makes perfect sense. It's really hard to step into something if you don't really know why you're stepping and pay for it and devote the time to it if you don't know why you're doing it, which is why it's really important to do a little bit of visioning when somebody is re-signing with you.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you don't, this is exactly what happens. So you can't just be like, oh, do you want to resign? Okay, it's this many months, blah, blah, blah. It's like, okay, let's look at what would you want to create over the next 6 months and have them share. And, you know, in our last Sacred Depths call, I'm going to go through the whole entire process step by step by step. But you get to do a do-over here. So what you can say to her is like, I totally get it, of course. And yes, let's start in August, but I'd love to just gift you with 30 minutes. Let's hop on the phone and actually do some visioning together. Like, let's see what it is that you really need next and how our work together can really help you with it. It's 30 minutes of your time, but it will help ensure that she doesn't move out in August.
Yeah, I tried to say that in the email yesterday when I wrote back to her, but I guess I didn't say it clearly enough that it was a gift. I just was like, maybe we should just hop on the phone because we had a session scheduled for this morning.
Let her know.
Yeah.
Let her know. You like sometimes I'll even say like you're absolutely right. Like we should have gotten more clear about that container and what's going to be happening in the container. My bad. Let me gift you a session. Let's just get really clear on that, even though we're not starting till August, so that you have something to look forward to and so that we can start to get really clear.
Yeah. Great. What happened was I was all ready to do that revisioning, but she just was like, oh, yeah, I want to sign up again for 3 months, for 3 more months. And I was like, oh, okay, done. Like, I just, like,
yep.
I like, even, started to go
yep,
there.
So, yeah. Even when somebody wants to do that, say, great, I'm so happy, and let's get clear.
Yeah.
It just will help the whole process all around.
Yeah. Good learning for me.
Yeah. Good. Good stuff. Keep us posted.
Yeah, I will. So last question on that. Do you think I should, even though I already emailed her and said maybe we should just have this session and then we'll talk, then you can think about it over the summer or whatever, should I just email her again and say I was thinking about it and I really should have done this visioning before, so I want to gift you just 30 minutes if you can hop on the phone between now and
August? I wouldn't say okay. I was thinking about it. I would just say, like, I don't know if I was fully clear in my last email. I agree with you 100%. We really should have blah, 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 and that. Yeah.
Yeah, got it. Great.
Okay.
Okay.
Good. Good stuff.
Thanks.
All right. Who's next? Star 2. Like I said, we're small group today. So Star 2, what have you guys got? What do you need? What can I help you with? Don't be shy. This is one of those weeks where we have 3 sacred depths calls, and there's a lot, but this is an opportunity to get whatever you need. So Star 2, what have you got going on? Anybody else have anything? Can be client, prospect. We can even bring, even what part of Kelsey brought in is more like business stuff going on. What do you need help with? What can I help you with? All right, Kelsey's raising her hand again. I'll get you since nobody else is raising their hand. Oh, actually, you know what Kelsey Gale is? Let me get Gale.
Oh, okay, no, perfect. Yeah, perfect.
Gale.
Hey. Well, I was getting a lot out of what Kelsey said, because one of the problems I'm having has to do with not scheduling my time. It's all about usually what I have to do for everybody else. But I had actually a question about my client is someone I'm very close to, and it's my practice client.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that the first session we had was really great. I went in there. He brought out a lot of things that were he hadn't really thought about in terms of how his past was affecting his present and his ability to move forward in his business and with projects. But I find that I am holding back, and I'll notice some words that he says, and I think, oh, we should really go into that and find out more about that, but I've been not doing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
so first,
think.
Oh, go ahead. No, you go ahead. You think what?
Okay. Now, I think it's because we're so close.
Mm-hmm.
That I sometimes have a hard time finding that dividing line between actually being a more powerful coach.
Yeah. Yep. That makes perfect sense. And it's not the first time that I've heard it, that when you're coaching someone that you're friends with or someone that you're close with, there can be this tentativeness to show up in all of the power that you have. Because of the line. So I totally get it. It's so normal to feel that way. And let's just go a little deeper, because just because you feel that way doesn't mean you have to act that way, right? And I know you know that, or else you wouldn't be bringing this forward. So what's the belief that shows up for you when you hesitate, when you hold yourself back? We're such good friends, and if I push this or if I ask this question or if I show up as the leader here, then what? What's going to happen?
I guess I'm afraid that he won't want to go deeper again. Like he just would want to stay maybe on the surface and work with what we've uncovered so far. But I just feel like we need to go deeper because there's something more powerful that needs to emerge. But I think I'm afraid that he'll say, oh, I don't know about that.
Mm-hmm. And what's scary about that if he says, oh, I don't know about that? What's the belief there?
I guess. I was going to say it had to do with my feeling of a feeling of not being competent, but I don't think that's exactly it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. When someone says, oh, I don't want to deal with that, my normal reaction in life is like, oh, well, I guess I can't talk about it.
Uh-huh. Why? Why is that your reaction? What is the belief or the thing that you think is going to happen if you do?
That the person might get annoyed or that they might just go away.
So they might get annoyed or just go away. I am hearing, tell me if this may not be true, what I'm hearing, and there's like they might get angry.
Yeah, I guess in a sense, I didn't really think of it as anger, but yeah, that could be it.
So if I'm hearing you correctly, when you're hesitating with this client, when you see that there's an opportunity to go deeper that will really serve, when you're hesitating with this client or really with anyone else in your life, when you hesitate, it's because you're scared that they're going to get annoyed with you or possibly even leave you, maybe in anger.
Yeah, like to feel rejected.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And maybe because this is a friend that you're coaching, that's activated even more, that fear of rejection.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you were a client, like in this conversation right now, I'm coaching you, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Would you want me to not bring something up that I thought would serve you because I was scared that you might reject me?
Oh, no.
How come? Why?
Because I know what I will get out of what you bring forward.
Yeah. So what will it take for you to believe that your clients and really just the people in your life believe that about you?
What will it take for people in my life to believe that about me?
Yeah, that what you have to bring forward is going to be important for them.
They'd have to see it. They'd have to experience it and see it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd have to do it.
Right. So it's like you've got yourself on this, like, impossible loop here, right? Because what you're saying is in order for people to trust me, I need to step up and trust them, but I need to step up and show them that I can be trusted, that I have a lot to bring to the table, but I'm not going to do that until they already trust me.
Yeah. I do see that.
and so in that loop that you've set up, you're shortchanging yourself from showing up in your brilliance, and you're shortchanging your clients.
Yeah. I certainly don't want to do that.
No, I know you don't. I know that's the exact opposite of what you want to do.
Yeah.
So knowing all of this, if we go back to this particular client,
mm-hmm.
what is something that you could say to him to broach this topic so that you would feel more comfortable showing up fully for him?
Well, I guess I could just come out and say that I feel that I've been holding back and coaching him in certain areas at certain times. And I think that it would really benefit him to go into these areas and ask him, what do you think?
Yeah. Yeah. Beautiful. So I'm going to add a little bit to that. I love all of that, and you can take this or leave it. But to say, you know, I just want to share with you that we've been doing really good work together, but I know that I've been holding back at certain moments. And it's a little bit because we're friends that I don't want to push you too much, but I know that there is more for you here. And I'm wondering if I have permission to ask you some deeper questions and to push you a little bit more. Will you trust me on that?
Wow.
How might something like that work for you?
Perfect. That sounds really perfect.
So that way you know you have the permission, right? It's like out in the open, you've asked for it, and then that will allow you to really step up fully.
That sounds great.
Awesome. And then what I'd say in general for you and everybody else listening, that's just a great strategy for any client, your friend or not. It's something that I often do. We looked at this actually when we were looking at container setting and also some of the welcome questionnaire. You know, in my welcome questionnaire, one of the questions I ask is, you know, do I have permission? Forget the exact wording, but it's like, do I have permission to hold you accountable? Do I have permission to call you out in moments?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so I have that in there. I speak about it in the enrollment conversation. I let people know. You know, I'm honest with a straight shooter, and I want to make sure I have permission. And sometimes I'll even do it, like, before I'm about to call someone out or push them. I'll say, like, are you open to being pushed right now? Or are you open to me, like, nudging at you a little bit right now or calling you out, you know? So what I find is oftentimes just, like, asking for the permission in different ways can give everybody the trust and the feeling, like, okay, it's okay. This is what I'm here to do.
Yeah.
Great. I want to hear how that goes for you. It feels like that's going to be a next really important step in your evolution, Gail, and it also just really makes me think of the beautiful work that you did at the shadow retreat, where one of the pieces that really came up for you at the retreat and then in some other calls is, like, you are so wise and you have so much to share and you have so much to offer. It's just that sometimes you don't trust it.
Yeah.
And I think that this will be a good tool to give you more permission to trust all it is that you have to bring to the table.
Yeah. So asking someone if I have permission is also, I'm giving myself permission.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
It's almost more for you than it is for them. Because I think they've already, in most cases, they've probably already given you the permission. You just don't know it.
Yeah.
Great. All right. I want to hear how that goes.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. I'm going to take Kelsey, but there's time for other people to raise their hands. Star 2. And Kelsey, you're up.
My question is sort of a logistical question on retreat pricing and numbers, right? So I'm planning my first retreat. Well, sort of my first. I had this other little mini one once where you have to say how many people you think are going to be there and then pay up front for part of it. And so I'm like trying to figure out how many people are going to come and how to price it accordingly, right? So how do you do that your first time?
How do you do that? Well, so a lot of it depends on the numbers. As an aside, I just want to say this is one of the reasons why a lot of the time I opt for hotels as opposed to retreat centers, because it's like an added layer of stress and pressure and logistics that I personally usually just don't have the patience to deal with.
Yeah.
So it's like not as pretty, but it's still, you've been in retreat with me, like it's, you can still do so much, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, I just want to throw that out there for future things.
Yeah.
But so what you need to do, can you tell me a little bit about pricing that the location has given you?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not 100% sure I'm going to do this place, but part of the reason I chose it is it's gorgeous. It's called the Land of the Medicine Buddha, and it's in the Santa Cruz Mountains, and it's gorgeous, but it's also a little rustic and not super expensive. It's in, we'll be staying in yurts.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's about $200, maybe like $215 per person. It's not very much.
For the entire retreat or for the night?
Yeah.
For
the entire retreat. It's like $105 per night per person, with a little, maybe call it $110. So it's like $225 per person.
Got it. And is it for sharing rooms or single?
That's for sharing room. Single beds, but in a yurt, sharing a yurt. Yeah.
Okay. And is there a minimum to how many you need to reserve or anything like that?
Not really. I sort of initially was getting pricing around 8 people, but maybe there'll be 10, maybe there'll be 12, and you just pay 20% as a deposit.
Of however many you want to reserve.
Yes.
And does it include food?
Yes.
It includes all 3 meals?
Yep.
Holy moly, that's a steal.
Yeah.
That is a retreat.
I know.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's rustic. It's rustic. You walk back to the dining hall, and I mean, there is a pool and a sauna over there, but you're kind of like way out in the woods.
Yeah.
What's
awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love it. That's great. Okay. So $220 for the entire thing, and tell me when the retreat starts and when it ends.
It would start on like a Friday, kind of after lunch, 2-ish, 3-ish, to Sunday afternoon, same time.
So, okay, so 2 full days. And you're paying $220. And how many people do you think? You think it'll be like 10, you said?
I mean, I would love to have 10. It could be 8.
Got it. And do you have a minimum requirement for how much you want to earn, take out from this retreat?
I haven't really thought about that because, I mean, sure, I would love to make $1,000, right, or $2,000. But it's sort of my beta. Yeah, is that not enough?
I don't know. You're a pretty accomplished practitioner. You're not.
But for my first beta retreat?
Okay.
Okay. Call it 1500.
Okay. That sounds better to me. Okay, I'm going to throw out a number which could be higher if you wanted it to, but just based on what I think is probably a stretch for you based on what I'm hearing. That sound good?
Yeah.
$495 as an early bird. If it's $495 as an early bird, if you get your minimum of 8 people, then you're almost at a $2,400 after you pay out to the retreat center.
That's great. I was sort of in my head, I had sort of gone $479, but I like $495. That works. And that's early bird.
That's early bird.
Yeah.
I would I would do $695 regular or $725 regular. $495 uh-huh. for a full, like, 2 days of retreat, all expenses paid, is so reasonable.
Yeah.
You should be able to sell that, like, so easy. And let people know it's never going to be that price again.
Yeah. Perfect. That was a good confirmation. That's kind of where I was in my mind about it. And that's if I get 8 people. And then
and if you get, and if you have 10, then it'll be more.
Right. What do you do for your, like, assistants? Do they pay, like, their, like, the 210 or?
I would, what I usually do with my assistants is because they love the experience, like, they get so much from the experience, is that I don't pay them for being there, but I pay their expenses.
So the 220 or whatever.
Exactly.
You would like to, for, yeah, got it. So they don't have to,
yes.
Yeah, they, wait, so you pay the 220. So wait, so then if it was 495, then I'd say for you, you just pay the little bit,
okay,
or do they pay nothing?
When it, no, I mean, if, unless, if the assistant is really assisting, like they're not also a participant. They happen to just receive what they're going to get. But, like, if they're truly
right.
just there as an assistant, then they just don't pay anything. I pay their expenses.
Got it. Got it. Perfect.
Yeah. If it's someone who's, like, should be paying, but they're going to assist you a little bit, then you can pay for their accommodations, and they can pay on top of that. Or you can just come
okay.
to a rate that feels good.
Okay, cool. Or just, yeah. not have them pay. Yeah, got it. Okay. All right. Well, all right. I'm going to do this. This is what I'm going to do
Yay,
in my blocked off time.
Happening.
I'm going to, and how baked does the retreat have to be before you send it out to your email list? Like, hey, save the date. Cause I'm a little short. I mean, I'm starting June and I'm thinking of August. I mean, sorry, I'm thinking of October 4th, 5th. Is that too short?
No, no, not at all. If
it's
you're going to start voting in August, for October?
No, I was going to start saying something like save the date now, maybe in an email to my list in the next week.
Oh, okay. So I would do here's what I would do. We're getting into marketing here, but that's fine. I think it's helpful for everybody. I would identify individuals first who you know would just like love this retreat so much that it's just so perfect for them. They would love it. You want them there. It's probably going to be from your existing client pool.
Mm-hmm.
And I would reach out to each of those individually now and just tell them, you know, I wanted to let you know before I let my whole community know about this because this is just, like, so perfect and up your alley. I know you would just love this so much. There's a limited amount of spaces. I'm never going to do it for this cheap again. You can tell them a little bit what it's about in a sentence or two and say, would it make sense for us to hop on the phone to see if you want to save a spot for yourself?
Right.
And I'd give that a week, and I'd follow up. But I wouldn't send anything out to your community until, like, you do that a week in advance so they feel special
mm-hmm.
and you single them out. And that will also give you a gauge of, like, how many of, like, your more dependable people might be in or out to know how much marketing you need to do.
Right.
I'm not big into save the dates. I think if
okay.
you're going to send something out, like, if you have nothing else on your marketing calendar right now and you've got the real estate, just start promote it now as the early bird.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, that's kind of what I meant. I just said that I don't have a web page for it. I don't have a lot of marketing.
Oh, you don't. Yeah,
it,
you don't need
just,
one.
Yeah.
You can just invite people to hop on the phone with you.
Okay.
I don't think you're going to need a web page for this, Kelsey. I think if you're looking, I mean, I think you're going to get more than 8. I think if you're looking 10 to 12, you can get away with not a web page and just
okay,
have individual conversations.
Perfect. Perfect. Thank you. Very confirming for me.
Yay. Good. Very exciting. All right. I think we have time for one more question. Who else wants to come forward? Even if you think it's silly or you're not sure or whatever, how can I help you? I want to help you. Who needs anything before we wrap for today? Anyone? All right, then I will trust that we're complete for today. I'm thinking about you guys. We have our accountability structures call tomorrow. I'll see you then, and I hope you have a great rest of your day. Bye.